You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I mean, you know, we went long with that interview with Ross, but that's a guy who changed, literally changed sports with the way HBO...
It did.
The way production, you've used sports now. The money that they spent on Hard Knocks, Real Life, they went, Real Life sports. Has gone all over the world.
Real sports.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Real World. Real Sports has gone all over the world.
Look at the topics they brought to us, like the plight of minor leaguers.
Yeah.
Right? The CTE stuff. They had Chris...
Frank DeFord.
Yeah, Frank DeFord when he was on there. Yeah. But they had the play. I can't remember the guy who was the professional wrestler, the guy who was like originally from Harvard or whatever. The plight of, that's where I learned about that the brain can actually, like in college, the college schedule is more conducive for the brain coming back to, the brain can repair itself through football, but when you have extensive brain trauma and you don't give it a chance to heal, it, you have issues with that. I learned about stat concussions for younger people. Like, Real Sports is the show that really teaches you about a lot of topics that don't get enough airtime. But the boxing stuff, to me, that was the way that they did boxing over the years. It really was theater. Like, they had a way of doing it. Really was theater. And then we haven't even gotten to Hard Knocks, because Hard Knocks, while I don't think as many people obviously watch Hard Knocks as they once did, it changed the storytelling game. And I've watched the Sunderland documentary that about, you know, Premier League soccer, a team getting relegated. I've watched the Amazon stuff that they've had on Florida State and Arizona Cardinals. It's a takeoff of Hard Knocks. It really, Hard Knocks is really changed the way a lot of people have looked at it, and really what he's done at HBO Sports.
Yeah, well, you know what? ESPN 30 for 30 spawned from, you know, the documentaries that, and the way that they told stories, and, you know, it just changed everything. I didn't know. I thought HBO, when I was introduced to HBO, it was all movies and whatnot, and I thought sports was the side. But he says, no, we were doing sports, and then the movies came after that. I had no idea. I had no idea that HBO started as a paid sports station. But apparently that's how it was. And Ross Greenberg was a huge, huge part of that. So that's great. It's extra innings from 9/11, 20 years later. Good stuff. Todd McShay, apparently he is not oblivious to what everybody is saying about him, and he can't be oblivious to his own health issues. He's taken a break from ESPN. We talked about this yesterday, those of you that weren't here and didn't hear. Todd McShay really has been struggling on the air. He looks like a different guy. His face is so bloated. He seems to have some health issues going on, and he apparently is there are issues, and he is taking a break from ESPN now so that he can focus on his health. And that's really a good thing. That is really a good thing that he can, you know, hopefully he can get better, because there is a problem there. There's no question there is a problem there, and he needs to get that all taken care of, and then get back on the air and get back to what he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of your colleagues.
I think Todd McShay has some medical stuff that has been lingering for over a year, and it's causing people to make comments that might not be accurate about, you know, about his work ethic. You know, there's you know, people hear the slurring of the speech and they think one thing. Not everyone, because some people say, boy, this sounds like stroke, or it sounds like this or that. I think Todd's going through medical issues and he had to step away. And I was surprised ESPN put him on, frankly, on TV, because they can't be oblivious to it. And I would think if it's a medical concern, an issue, why put the guy on TV? Why put him out there for people to take shots at him in week one? I mean, it didn't make sense. Why would Todd want to do that? So he said he's going to step away and take care of his health. This is not the first time. In April of 2020, he had the same issue. He stepped away from draft coverage, and I'd totally forgotten about that in April of 2020. So that's something that you know, that's, I think, continuing to linger for him.
All right. For those of you who missed the beginning of the show, well, that's just a couple of hours ago. I don't know. You know what? If you're not listening for three straight hours, then there's something wrong with you. But we started the show with Jake Odorizzi.
He's happy about things.
Yeah, well, he's not really all that happy after throwing five innings and just 66 pitches, giving up two runs. Not a chance for a quality start. He hasn't had really a chance for a quality start. He hasn't had a quality start since July 9th. Mainly because Dusty keeps taking him out of baseball games before the sixth inning. And last night, he had an issue with it. Despite the fact that, for those of you who didn't hear, Astros won, came back. Bregman with a two-run homer in the ninth. And then Carlos Correa with the ground rule double to win it in the tenth. Jake Odorizzi afterwards, here was the questions and answers.
You just said that, last three starts, they've pulled you after five innings, and he just thinks that's kind of the limit at this point. How do you feel about that? Are you frustrated by that? And do you think you can, pitch a little deeper at this point?
You want honesty? I think it's bullshit.
Jake, have you vocalized that to Dusty or Stromy?
No, nobody talked to me, so.
How frustrating is it for you, especially as someone that's signed here for the next year and maybe another year?
I think it's pretty freaking obvious. Just go take a look at it. It's not like I just, made my debut yesterday. Been doing this for a while. So, it's extremely frustrating. So,
going forward, and I mean, it's just a conversation you're going to have with them. Just what do you think the next step is?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Is this as frustrated as you've been as a major leaguer?
It's up there. I'm glad we won. Reggie played great. Poffins played great. Carlos played great. Like, it's a great win. I'm glad we won, that's for sure. If not, I'm sure I would have been the subject of blame because of only going five innings. So I'm glad we won.
How did you feel about your stuff overall tonight?
Perfectly fine. I mean, the hit I gave up in the fifth inning, whatever it was, the ball off the plate exactly where I wanted to throw it. Like, I'm not upset at all. I had good stuff. I had 66 pitches through five innings. I don't really know what needs to be said more than that. So, I'm done. I'm not going to say anything more. So, yeah.
That pitch count through innings, that's what set that also set off. Zach Greinke previously,
yep.
about now this wasn't Dusty, it was back in 19 with AJ Hinch. I think that's the thing that really pisses the pitchers off when their pitch count is low. I think they look at pitch count, and what the Astros were looking at was, well, you had the numbers for Jake Odorizzi, first time in lineup, second time lineup, third time lineup. Time one and time two are actually pretty impressive. They're actually really impressive for what
those of you don't know. Jake Odorizzi, the first time he faces a guy in a game, they're hitting 200 against him, and their OPS is 600. That's really good. Second time he faces them, pretty good, 226 and 690. That's pretty good. Third time he faces the lineup, they're hitting 395 with a 1365 OPS. That's pretty bad. And it turns out they
did. Pretty bad. That's worse than... That's like he's facing every Babe Ruth.
Oh, or more.
Everybody is Babe Ruth?
Yeah. Ted Williams with Babe Ruth power.
Everybody he's facing, he's got a cheat code against him.
Right. 930 slugging. Yeah. 930 slugging. So, and it just got worse yesterday. As a matter of fact, they were hitting 500 against them.
So how many times he even gotten to the third time in a lineup
there? Not many, because he's only faced
40. For those numbers, it's
got to
be small. He's
only faced 43 guys. 43 guys the third time through the line.
So it's a sample size issue for him, too, a little bit.
Hit 17 hits, 5 homers, 15 RBIs, 3 walks, and only 3 strikeouts the third time through the lineup. Yeah, he just doesn't. I guess his stuff just isn't what it was before, because he obviously pitched deeper into games. Yeah, listen, Dusty's right and Odorizzi's right. I threw 66 pitches. Now, last night was a microcosm of exactly what happens to Jake Odorizzi the third time through. He had runners on second and third. Nobody out. The eighth and ninth men in the order come up. He gets them both out without scoring any runs. The leadoff guy who's facing Jake Odorizzi for the third time lashes a double into right center field. Two runs score. Next guy, Haniger, he gets him out. But the third time through the lineup, Crawford gets to him. And so this is exactly what the problem is with Jake Odorizzi when he faces guys the third time. Will he get many more chances? I don't know. Which may mean Jake Odorizzi might be a good bullpen guy. He faces guys once. He actually, can even go a couple of innings.
That's exactly what that tells you. If he has enough time to warm up, it depends on how quickly he gets warmed up. Maybe he gets warm quickly, maybe he doesn't. But that's what you're telling me makes it sound like Jake Odorizzi is a guy who could give you three good innings. And that's what the Astros need right now. Christian Javier is not a guy that you feel is mega trustworthy, at least this year. Right now, Odorizzi, if you have – I mean, honestly, let's face it. Urquidy, Odorizzi, if Odorizzi even makes the playoff roster, Urquidy, Odorizzi, well, Javier, you could have three guys with starting experience who have the ability to give you those innings. And – you might be able to avoid...
go along with Graveman and go along with right. Presley. And,
which, by the way, they have not been the best pitchers, but you're going to have to rely on them late in the game.
Well, here's the deal, though. The more guys you get in that bullpen, the less those guys have to pitch, the stronger they'll be come the postseason.
Well, I think Dusty's going to have to remember what he did last year when they had some success stacking starter with former starter. Because if you have long arms...
Yeah,
in the bullpen, like Odorizzi and Christian Javier.
Javier was great in that role last year.
He was fantastic in there. He's a lifesaver. But that was out of necessity because there was a game every single day. Well, now, if you still say, okay, you know what? I like the way that worked. I would just rather have, honestly, I might rather have Urquidy in there in the sixth inning as opposed to Yimi or Blake Taylor or, God forbid, you know, well, Stanek usually is a little bit later than that. But I don't know. I think it gives Dusty more options. Would he take those options? I think there's a chance based on what he did last year in the postseason. But I'm just curious, do they look at last year's postseason as a complete anomaly because the way the scheduling was set up, you had to do those things? I'd like to see him just throw best on best. And if that is Urquidy or Odorizzi out of the pen, as opposed to Stanek or Brooks Raley or Blake Taylor or, you know, certainly Yimi right now, who I don't have a lot of confidence in him. Yeah, let's do it. Let's go with the one guy for three innings. Let's go starter. Hey, okay, Zach Greinke for five and then three innings with Jake Odorizzi and then Presley close it. Let's go. Or Odorizzi, well, okay, let's say we go six innings with Greinke. Maybe Odorizzi goes three and shuts it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I don't think you have to go necessarily to your bullpen and go to your closer, but I think from an analytics standpoint, the Astros are going to follow a methodology that keeps it looking similar to what it looks like now. But I'd love to see them in the postseason say, you know what, we're leaning on Urquidy more. We're leaning on Odorizzi in the pen more than we're going to lean on Blake Taylor. I have so much more confidence right now hearing the data from first and second time around in the lineup for Jake Odorizzi. That gives you hope that, wow, then maybe he can be a good 2-3-inning bullpen guy.
And he's been really good lately. So
he's been solid.
He's coming on a lot stronger than he was earlier in the year, that's for sure. 9:13, 17 minutes from now, RJ Bell going to join us. He'll give you some winners right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the first of his weekly visits with us here to talk about NFL games. So we started up tomorrow night. Let's go. And you need a place when RJ gets here. You're going to need a place to bet. Now listen to this. New, current, and former MyBookie customers. If you were on MyBookie before and you're like, well, I'm not a new customer because I was there before, or I'm currently on my bookie, or I'm a new customer, so I want my double deposit. Well, guess what? Everybody gets double deposit right now, up to $1,000. All of you, everyone. You can enjoy having a little action on the pro and college football games, doubling your next deposit with promo code BET975. It's got to be promo code BET975, and they will double your deposit. Even I'm on there now. I've got money in there now. I'm putting more money in there now because I'm going to get more free bets. So they will double that deposit. Now, you got to play, and there's all kinds of rules about it. You can't just put it in there and double your money and then say, all right, I want it all out. That doesn't happen. So you got to play. But you play, and you win, and you get paid. It's easy to withdraw your money from there as well. But here's the deal. Right now, go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, and double your deposit, even if you're a current customer. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. RJ Bell going to join us in about 12 minutes here, so stay with us if you need some winners from this weekend.
Can I tell you something that happened with snacks?
Yeah.
My son, we went to the Museum of Fine Art, and they had it was this installation where you could walk around on these plastic balls that were jammed together inside these ropes. It's hard to explain. Anyway, we went there. And after that, I decided I was going to take he and my daughter, Maddie, we're going to go get a treat. So we went to Cloud 10 Creamery and got some ice cream there off Shepherd.
That's nice.
And we got out of there. They were all excited. They just got a treat. They were all excited. And so Snacks decided to push it. Like, they were in the mode to, hey, let's get this. Let's get this. Because I said, you know what? Mason didn't want to go, so he didn't get a treat. So I took them on purpose so they would tell Mason, look, we got a treat. We went there, and we got a treat because he tried to bail out on them. Snacks then, and this is a true story. None of it's a lie.
You don't lie.
Snacks got – he was in the back seat of the car, and with super excitement, we pulled out of Cloud 10 Creamery onto Shepherd, and we're sitting there in traffic kind of waiting to go because, you know, Shepherd has been under construction for, I think it's 17 straight years now. Mm-hmm. So anyway, all of a sudden I hear him go, oh, let's stop at Cindy's. You know, Cindy's? You know the
lingerie store.
The store Cindy's? They have a pumpkin. They have like pumpkins painted on there, a ghost that says boo. It says Halloween costumes. He goes, let's stop at Cindy's and go get some Halloween costumes. We can get it before all the costumes are gone. I bust out laughing, and then I'm thinking, well, this is hilarious. Snacks wants to go to Cindy's, and I'm, you know, and this is how I handle it. As a dad, I just laugh, and he goes, what's funny? I just said, and of course, Maddie, who's the snoopiest snoop in the world, says, why are you laughing? I said, nothing. It's just funny. It's not really a Halloween costume store. Then why is it? And then Maddie, of course, says, and look at the costumes on those girls. That looks like pretty inappropriate costumes, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife goes, well, that's an adult shop where adults who, and I'm like, no, you don't have, in my head, I'm thinking, there's no reason to explain any of this. Just say, no, that's just a shop for grownups. It's not for kids. And it stops. Then she starts talking about when grown-ups, you know, when married people, Maddie goes, that's inappropriate. No, Maddie, it's not necessarily inappropriate. It's a place where grown-ups can go who love each other. And sometimes when they have sex, and I'm like, all right, we didn't need to start talking about, this didn't need to turn into a sex ed talk about Cindy's. Like, no, I don't want my daughter knowing what's in the shop. I don't want snacks.
Well, you know, you want them naughty too, so she stays away for it or pickets it at some point.
Yeah, let's just talk about, let me just have a laugh that Snacks wants to go to Cindy's to get some Halloween costumes. It's a laugh, I can share it, and it's no big deal. Don't take them in, don't basically give them a virtual visit into Cindy's, basically, with your discussion of adults and why adults are going. Let's stop. What are you doing? That's not necessary. Just Cindy's. Oh, yeah, it's a place that kids don't go. Why? Of course, you get all that. Why? You just say, you know what? It's just an adult place. But why? What's in there? What's in there? The less questions. This is what I believe as a dad. I fundamentally believe this. This is why I'm Father of the Year. The fewer questions you answer of your kids, the better off you are. When they want to know things and you don't want to talk about them because it's uncomfortable, just don't tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't talk about it. Don't tell them and let their friends tell them. And you're off the hook. Hmm. Boom. Parenting. Hashtag parenting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to tell them stuff.
Well,
you definitely don't have to tell them stuff
to
about
Monty,
a
that's
shop.
A danger zone now. For no, snacks, it's probably stuff. Like, oh, I got to see what's in there. I got to see what's going on in there. So no. That was a bad thing. But Monty, I think it's correct to show her because absolutely, at some point, Monty's going to be in her bonnet, with her overcoat on, looking like she's Amish, and out right. there picketing.
Or Handmaid's.
Or Handmaid's Tale. Yeah. Right, right. And she'll be out there picketing Cindy's because of the inappropriate.
Under his eye! Mm-hmm. Like that, just chant, like, what did they also say? Under his eye and there's something else. Not also with you. That's my
not
church.
Peace be with you, but under his eye.
Under his eye and there's one other that they would
one
say.
Other one. Yeah.
I just feel like when Cindy's, let me just have my laugh, wife, and don't jump in with start giving discussions of why this isn't inappropriate. Let's just say it's just not a place for kids. And then you move on.
Yeah.
Like parents, like my parents would have done.
Yeah,
you know what? You're not getting a long talk. You know what? I don't want one. Let's keep, let's have this. This is our relationship. You don't tell me, and I'm not asking.
Yeah,
that's how easy that
your
is.
Your parents.
I'll go look at Playboys at Clint Culpepper's house.
Right.
We'll go to the taco, his brother Taco had. I knew where he kept them. And then if you went hardcore, then, there was a hustle there. It went a little. You just found out more. Found out more than the Playboy was there. That's back in the day where you found older brother magazines, and that's how you learned. I turned out fine.
Yeah, your parents also took you to Taxi Driver and made you sit and on the floor in the back seat.
Well,
so
that's
you
their fault for
it.
Not knowing. And then they're like, "Okay, we can't stay here for this." I'm sitting in the wheel well or whatever. Like, what's happening? This isn't a kid's show. We should have never brought you to Taxi Driver. What is happening? Who's the 13-year-old prostitute what? On the screen?
Man, shut up, Jody Oster.
She's kind of she's young. Let's get Spencer in here. He wants to talk about Jake Odorizzi. What do you say, Spencer?
Hey, boys. When I woke up this morning, I saw the tweets talking about his quote last night, and I was actually just stunned because last night was such a big win. And I think y'all are kind of underestimating it. I mean, the Mariners are just a cockroach. They just won't go away. And so I want them to get swept and just end their season, end their hopes, end their dreams. But I think this Odorizzi thing is kind of being not overblown because he said what he said. I don't think he was reacting to being pulled. If you go listen to the entire sequence, he's reacting because McTaggart starts out by saying, "Hey, Dusty just told everybody that they're going to lift you after 5. What do you think?" And I think that was the first time he had heard that. And so I think he was reacting to Dusty telling everybody that without he and Strami telling him that ahead of time, because there's no way on earth Odorizzi can complain that he's being lifted after 2 times through the order. And honestly, in the PRs or the playoffs, I think Odorizzi and Urquidy in the bullpen are going to be fantastic because Urquidy throws strikes. Odorizzi can be locked in for 2 or 3 innings, and I think it's going to be fine. So that's what I think Odorizzi was reacting to. So anyway, thanks, guys.
Yeah, I don't know that he was. Listen. Anytime a guy gets pulled after 5 innings with 66 pitches, that's a legitimate question, regardless of what regardless of if you asked Dusty, you didn't ask Dusty, or whatever the case may be. It's a bit odd that the starter is pulled after 66 pitches. That is like, and listen, that's just over 12. That's 13 pitches an inning. 13 pitches an inning for a starter is awesome. When you're at 66 pitches through 5, you're having yourself a nice outing. So that's a legitimate, what's the deal? How come he won't? And it's no secret. Jake Odorizzi has not pitched in the seventh inning this season.
Yeah.
So there, and he's a veteran. Young guys, you know, Luis Garcia, we've been making the excuse. You want to save him. This is the most pitches he's ever thrown in a season. You want him to be fresh for the end of the year. We get it. So you're going to pull him. You're going to get him out of there. Granke even, we've heard Granke talk about this and go, yeah, they don't trust me here. Oh, well. And Jake Odorizzi's feeling the same way.
Yeah, and those
but rightfully
two guys are,
so.
And those two guys are veterans. Well, Jake Odorizzi rightfully so there.
Yeah.
And it's not, and Jake hasn't been bad lately. He just, his pitch count gets into the 80s, usually. This time it didn't, but his pitch count gets in the 80s, sometime 100. And they're just, they look at it like, we don't want him starting an inning. I don't think they want to start him. Well, let me cut that right now so we can get to the breaking news.
Breaking news. Go ahead.
Per Ian Rappaport, the Texans are trading Bradley Roby to the Saints. They're working on the details of the deal. It's being finalized. Of course, he suspended week one, so.
I'm going to guess.
I mean, four. They weren't counting on him anyways.
Well, but. Not counting on him. He might help them win a game, so we got to get rid of him.
I'm going to predict a fourth.
You're going to predict a. You're going to predict a fourth rounder?
I hope.
Oh.
I can tell you this. Bradley Roby wasn't always a good attitude guy.
No.
I wouldn't surprise me. That's
probably
a
big reason why. Yeah. Yeah.
If they want to get rid
of
him.
He was here all training camp. He was working out. And, you know, I mean, I just think he helps you win. So you got to get rid of him. So RJ Bell joins us on the other side. But listen, golfers, time for the Dirty Birdie Charity Classic. And it's presented by DeCrew DeRue. That's Tiny and his boys. And it's powered by Mac Vibe Services. And it's a party. It's a golf tournament, kind of. No, it's a golf tournament. It's September 17th, Battleground Golf Course in Deer Park. We'll be out there again. You got great prizes and all the Carbach beer that you can drink. That, to me, is the key. If you're going to have a golf tournament, all the beer you can drink. Proceeds are going to benefit Elmina Shriners, which is nice. Ronald McDonald House of Galveston, which is nice. The American Heart Association, which is nice. So they raise money, and they do it in a fun way. You are not going to have a golf tournament that's going to be more of a party, really. You know, since mine ended over at Wildcat. Dirty Birdie Charity Classic. You don't want to miss that party. For more information, click on ESPN975.com. That's ESPN975.com. It's the Dirty Birdie Charity Classic, powered by Mac Vibe Services, September 17th at Battleground Golf Course in Deer Park.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about my friends over at Allstate Siding and Windows. Have you ever looked at your house and said, man, this just doesn't look good? I need a fresh coat of paint. Well, what you could need, especially if you have a house that's maybe like I had, brick and wood, is you may need some siding, because that wood is just going to continue to get dilapidated. And that's where a siding upgrade could really mean a lot. And that's where Allstate comes in. But there's so much more than just siding. They also do windows. They retrofit the windows to your pre-existing structure, because as your house moves in this inclement weather with all the clay soil that we have, you're going to find that windows need to be retrofit properly. They need to be custom cut so that you don't have the leaky windows. Leaky windows are the number one problem when it comes to additional noise, and especially allowing the air conditioning to seep out of your home and the dust and the heat to sneak into it. 25% off of their double pane, double strength windows that keeps your house quieter and keeps it more energy efficient. That's my friends over at Allstate Siding and Windows. Go to allstatesidingandwindows.com or call 832-204-1936.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. We're going to do this every week. RJ Bell, you've heard him on the Blitz for years. Great stuff every week, week in and week out. Now he's with us. Pregame.com. RJ Bell joining us here to talk about the lines and whatnot from this week's NFL games. RJ, welcome to the show. How are you?
You know, I got to say, the producer who played Stairway right there is like a fan. That was our intro song. with AJ and Fred right here on this station. So I had a little hat tip for me, and I'm excited because I'll be honest with you, is most radio guys, they don't have a lot to add to the conversation. It's noise. And, you know, that's at any station, right? It's not anything about any station. It's a, you know, it's hard to have true insight. And, you know, Lance is someone that, you know, with his experience at the NFL Network and such, I think there's insight to be had from you guys' show that just isn't out there. And I like to benefit from that. And hopefully I can help on the Vegas side.
Yeah, we hope so, too. Week one, RJ, of the NFL season. So difficult, you know, to find out if teams are the same teams or, you know, how much they've improved. We don't know yet. So how much more difficult is it this week for you to handicap what's going to happen Thursday through Sunday?
Okay, a couple of things. One is, as the season progresses, the medley, the mix of your handicapping inputs changes. So that's a fancy way of saying you're looking at something different in week one than you are in week 16, 17, 18, which is you don't have data, right? The data guys, you always hear about algorithms and the math guys. Well, it's hard to do math if you don't have data. Now, you can say, well, last year's data is applicable. Is it? How applicable is it? That's a debate, but it's not directly. Right? And we see every year, 1 year a team's below 500, next year, a team makes the playoffs, and they haven't made that many changes. It's not like some fundamental change. Now, the irony is, and this is going to be kind of mind-blowing, but we don't know how good the teams were last year, meaning there was only 16 games. Think about the Houston Astros and think about a 16-game run during a long season. You could find a time during their championship years, you could say, okay, Houston was below 500 during these 16 games, the Astros, even though they won the title that year. And you could find times during some of the bad years that they were well above 500 during a 16-game run. Which 16 games are we getting amongst the baseball team when we play an NFL season that's only 16 games? You know what? We don't know. So in truth, there's times there's 8-8 teams that in a given year that are better than teams that make the conference finals. And just think about Tampa Bay. One play in the New Orleans game goes differently. One strip fumble doesn't happen. And let me ask you guys, aren't the Saints likely to win that game at that point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you go back? And I see I'm actually a believer in that is going back and looking at when the results were altered by, I don't want to necessarily say luck, but there's a lot of analytics in baseball that factor in quote-unquote luck with the XFIP and, you know, they've tried to factor in what is a true game experience that may have been altered because of a bounce this way or a bounce that way. How do you handle that when you handicap? Because I think that's the secret sauce for finding a winner in future weeks when maybe the box score didn't tell you exactly what was going on in the game because of some lucky or unlucky bounces.
Or at minimum, the scoreboard doesn't tell you what's going on in the game.
Right.
The box score can start to reveal the truth. And I think that in no sport is that a bigger factor, luck, than football. And as the old saying goes, the ball is not round. It bounces funny. And turnovers, and this is one of my favorite stats, if you tell me the team that wins the turnover battle, I can tell you who's going to cover the spread 77% of the time. So almost 80% of the time, if you can just predict, and it's hard to, who's going to win the turnovers, I'm going to tell you who's going to beat expectation. Because by definition, the spread is expectation. Now that stat, 77%, is actually bigger than if you were able to be told the leader at halftime, who's winning the game. So if you ask the casual fan, okay, I can give you two pieces of information about this game, but you can only have one, which one do you want? I can tell you who's leading at halftime, and then you can bet the game before the game starts, or I can tell you who's going to win the turnover battle. The turnover battle is bigger predicting the end result than the halftime leader. It goes to show you how much luck there is. So if you're trying to remove luck, abstract out luck, the turnovers are a great place to start. Assume those are even, and then what happens is a great place to start. Now, I must say, guys, part of the deal here is it's kind of a quid pro quo. Remember in Silence of the Lambs where Clarice would get to ask Dr. Lecter questions and then Clarice had to answer questions? Lance is Clarice in this case. I'm Dr. Lecter. I've got some questions.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Arizona, Tennessee, I have a feeling. Listen, I'm an amateur at the scheme stuff.
All right.
I have a feeling that there's a scheme element to this game, and I like to see where there's an edge. Where do you see the edge?
Okay, well, for one, Vance Joseph was the defensive coordinator with Wade Phillips back in 11 through 13. So J.J. Watt is familiar with him. That's when J.J. was playing his best football, was defensive player of the year. So he's added to that odd front that they run up there. They've added Zaven Collins as a rookie on the interior along with Isaiah Collins. So what they have is two big but speedy linebackers, bigger than usual. And that, I bring that up because that's important because of the way Tennessee likes to run the football. So now you got a bigger defensive lineman in J.J. Watt who fits the scheme that Vance Joseph runs. You got bigger, faster linebackers. Isaiah Simmons in his second year playing next to a real linebacker in Zaven Collins at 260 pounds. I think they're better built to slow down the passing or the running game of the Tennessee Titans. And I think what is also interesting is the offense. You know, you are going to see a lot of 11 personnel, which is the three wide receiver sets out of Arizona. Remember they added A.J. Green. So now you got Janoris Jenkins as one of the cornerbacks at 5'10". He's going to have to either guard DeAndre Hopkins or A.J. Green, two big cornerbacks and two or big wide receivers, physical wide receivers. The secondary had a real problem last year against 11 personnel when they went into their nickel situations. So I actually like Tennessee in this situation from a schematic, I mean, or rather Arizona from a schematic standpoint, because I think they're built to slow down the running game. And if you slow down the running game, it plays into a higher tempo game, which is what Arizona likes to do, is get more plays. So if you get them three and out or six and out at some point by slowing down the running game of Tennessee, I think Arizona's got a chance to really put pedal to the metal and take advantage of what I think is going to be a size matchup advantage for Arizona against Tennessee secondary.
Now that to me is fascinating, because what we know from Arizona is a lot of college perspectives from Kingsbury coming in, and they have been looking for those hybrid defensive players, the players that are big enough to go down, like the big nickel, right, able to stop the run, but able to defend, because let's be candid, the tight ends, the running backs, defending in the middle, this, the old school, as a Steelers fan, the old school linebackers like Timmons that could stop the run, but man, they're not going to be chasing tight ends too far. Those guys are getting run off or, you know, getting taken off the field. Arizona is the prototype, it seems, of the new hybrid approach. Tennessee is old school when it comes to having Henry in that back. And to me, this is a great opportunity to say, hey, the schemes matter. Arizona. See, I would have never looked at Arizona. So, okay, I like that. So, Lance, you get to ask me now.
All right. Okay, Lecter, Cowboys, Bucks, Thursday night.
Okay, so to me, in betting, you know, we have a show, and the studies say, or the research, that half the audience does not gamble, and I think that's important to realize that if you're a gambler, you're going to love this segment, no doubt. But if you're not a gambler, you're going to be able to understand, hopefully, what Vegas thinks about the game. And if you want to be a sports fan that understands the sports world these days, you got to know what Vegas thinks, even if you don't bet. And what Vegas does better than anyone, any organization, is price uncertainty. Oftentimes, you don't know what's going to happen. The question is, what are the factors that could happen, and what's the chances they're going to happen? Like the insurance company, chances are your car's not going to get in an accident, knock on wood, but if it does, it gets fixed. How much should they charge you for that uncertainty? Okay, in this case, what's the chance of Dak having his arm be 100%, you know, as opposed to what's the chance that Dak is less than 100%? I think it's a non-zero chance, meaning there's a material chance that Dak's arm currently is less than 100%. And that his performance will be affected. But let's say even amongst the universe, the Dax arm is 100% right now. What I know for sure is he's coming off a major injury, did not have near the time that he wanted to practice in the lead up to this first game during training camp. So I think there's only two choices with Dallas. Number one is Dax hindered right now and he's rusty, or he's rusty. There's no scenario that he's both 100% physically and he didn't need that time that he missed. So for the season, I don't know if it affects Dak that much if he is 100% physically, but I think even if he is, and I'm not sure he is, but even if he is for game number one, you're talking rust, and I think that's one of the reasons the betting line has gone from Tampa Bay favored by 6.5, and now we're up to 8. 7 is a very key number. A lot of money on Tampa Bay, and I think it's warranted, and I think it's driven by the Dallas O-line injuries and the uncertainty with Dak.
Give me one more, and then we're gonna have to break it because we're up against it today. But give me one more, and I'll give you my scheme on this real quick.
All right. Well, I would say this is I'll give you a quick macro point, which is the following.
Okay.
Big picture point. Week one is the hardest week to bet, and the reason is these lines have been out since May, and all the professionals have had a chance to look at it, study it, study it again. And they've sucked the value. It's almost like imagine at Walmart right after the Midnight Madness sale. It's the next day. You go and everything's picked over. There's not much. You see some straight socks, right? This is that situation where the pros have picked these games to the bones. Doesn't mean there's not going to be value. It means there's less value. Be careful. Week two, there's going to be the same amount of games, but there's only been 6 days for the vultures to pick over. So week one is unique. Be careful and look at the line moves. If you could have played something at 1.5, don't lay 3 now. It's hard to win that way.
Yeah, I would tell you schematically, lower scoring game in Jets Carolina because of Robert Saleh over there with the Jets now. And then Phil
and
Snow.
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, and Zach Wilson, rookie going against Phil Snow, the second year coordinator, who's been with Matt Rhule at Temple and then Baylor. He's usually very good. When you stack the beginning onto, you know, second year and third year, he gets a lot better. So I think that's lower scoring. And Colts Seahawks, what the Colts are schematically set up to play bang bang football down the throats of the Seattle Seahawks. I'm kind of surprised what the number is there. I guess a lot of it's going to depend on Carson Wentz, but I think Seattle schematically is set up for a big problem against what the Colts do offensively. So keep your eyes on those games as well. Pregame.com is the website. Great information on here. A lot of good football stuff. Just whether you're into the gambling aspect or you're into just having a better feel for the games and you know, your pick'em contest, whatever you're doing on an individual basis, RJ Bell's got all kinds of information. Our old friend AJ can be found on there as well. AJ's doing MMA betting tips on there. Right now there's an article on the front page, a featured video where you can go take a look at AJ. So that's RJ Bell. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, RJ in Vegas, or go to pregame.com for all your information for this weekend's picks. You can go get his picks at a very affordable price. RJ, we look forward to doing this every single week on Wednesdays.
Yeah, just to be clear, guys, I don't personally don't sell any picks. You know, my stuff gets given away.
Right.
And Twitter's a great place for it. Thanks so much, and I look forward to this hit. And kudos on your success, everyone.
All right. Thanks, RJ. That's the first time that we've had a chance to speak with RJ. And you know, I'm looking at his site. Site's not bad. I might put him on with the SiteJab, though. I might put him on with SiteJab. I'm looking at it. I think SiteJab can do some different things. My parents, Lone Star Coaching Clinic, man, that is an old school site. It's got to be updated. And I'm having Hector and his crew, they're going to completely redo it. And the great thing is they can rebuild your site from scratch. And even if you have had it redone maybe 3 or 4 years ago, is it updated? Does it have the latest features? Was it done by somebody who's a professional with over 23 years in business, like my friends at SiteJab? Does it have e-commerce available on there or video integration? Do you have someone taking care of your social media stuff? That's what they can do for you. They're a full-scale solution when it comes to your digital footprint, and that's so important in this day and age to convert those eyes into interest and convert those interests into real business leads that can turn into dollars in your pocket. That's what business is all about. SiteJab can do all of that, and they do phenomenal work. Look at their entire portfolio of clients at SiteJab.com. That's SiteJab.com.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know Lil Uzi Vert?
Yeah. Why? I know him personally. He's in my
fantasy
league.
You know the $24 million diamond in his cutout into his forehead?
Yep.
Well, it's not there anymore.
What happened?
Fans ripped it out.
Oh, my God, this is the greatest schadenfreude moment of my life. Somebody so stupid to put a diamond in his head had it ripped out.
Yeah.
That's great.
No.
That's great. No, it's a good, that's a good thing.
Ripped out by fans. Or maybe he's just trying to get the insurance. No one knows.
Okay, now it makes sense.
Rutgers University is safe, Lance. You'll be happy to hear.
What's that?
Well, they banned an unvaccinated student from attending virtual classes. So everybody's safe now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they're safe?
They're safe.
Everything's good?
Yeah. Well, you can't have an unvaccinated person on a Zoom call.
No.
Because then everybody's in danger.
Yeah.
Speaking of danger, our governor, he says, the abortion bill, 6 weeks to get an abortion, otherwise you can't get one in Texas. It won't force rape victims to have babies because we're going to eliminate rape. Here in Texas.
I saw that. I saw his comment.
Yeah.
We're going to.
That's good news.
We're going to eliminate that.
Yeah, we're eliminating.
Out on the streets.
Yep, we're eliminating
that.
Well,
if everyone's got guns, I'll bet you,
Yeah.
You're going to slow down on that, your whole rapiness. That's gonna shut down.
You can be part of the Bumble app $3 million class action settlement. Apparently, men sued because women had to talk to the men first on Bumble.
What am I missing here?
Well, men couldn't talk to a woman first.
Oh, so they're saying that's unfair practice.
That's unfair.
Yeah.
That's discrimination.
Good. Give me my
against
money.
Against men. You don't want to discriminate against men on Bumble. I don't think you could do that on Grindr. There was no discrimination against men, I'm pretty sure. So there's no class action suit there. Charlie Polillo is next right here on ESPN 97.5. What do you think about Jake Odorizzi?
I think he should shut up and pitch his five innings and not worry about imploding in the sixth. And remember that he's guaranteed $14 million more after this season if he chooses to take his option for 2023. His life is good.
I think he's got a point. I think Greinke had a point, and I think he's got a point. But when you look at his numbers third time through the lineup, the point is moot.
It's data-driven. I doubt Dusty Baker unilaterally saying five innings, five and a third. This is really old now. The movie Logan's Run, when you turned 30, you had to be killed.
The light came on in your hand or whatever.
30 years old, you were no longer of use to society, so you were to be hunted down and killed. I think Farrah Fawcett's first movie. Jake Odorizzi, five innings, five and a third. He turns 30, dead. Get him out. It's just you look at the bullpen guys until you get to Stanek and Graveman ahead of Presley. I guess if I were Jake, I'd be a little upset, too, if you're going to lift me for Brian Abreu or Maton or Yimi Garcia.
Yimi, the first batter. Home run. Oh, I could have done that.
A friend of mine tweeted me exactly that. Exactly that.
All right, Charlie's next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jeff Aronoff is here with us right now. Now it's not like he's no longer with us. He's with us. He's here. He's in not only in spirit, but he'll come to your house. He'll actually come to your house or your business, and he will customize a plan for you to increase the value of that home, to increase the value of that business, to just make it look better, to make it richer, to make sure that you're up to date. Make sure that, listen, if you think you're selling your house without putting anything into it, guess what? You're not going to get any money for it. Guess what we had to do at our house? We had to put in an outdoor kitchen, and it really increased the value of our home. And if you're sitting there and your home is 10, 15, 20 years old, and you haven't done anything, you haven't upgraded your countertops, your cabinets, your vanities, your whatever it is, your outdoor patio, whatever it is, Jeff Aronoff will do that and make your home more valuable. Not only curb appeal, but value, real value. So you're looking to do that? Call him. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822.
And on, 'cause we're gonna be legends. Bitch.
ESPN 97.5.